Mother, man.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal Well, what the fuck is up?
How you doing, bro?
Pretty good, man. It's a Tuesday, doing that Tuesday thing.
Yes, sir. That's
good. Episode 59, it is, man. It's fucking
going to be a little different one like we've done before.
It is. It's going to be a special one we don't do often. One topic for the entire show. Plus, we've only done it one other time with the murder segment.
Yes, sir.
Which was, fucking, of course, was
fucking goddamn Zodiac.
Zodiac Palooza, which was the contest question from last week. So Dan of Montana got that
Dan
one.
Dan of Montana.
So we'll be doing a whole episode this time, though, on the Golden State Killer. One hell of a story.
That dude did a lot of fucked up shit.
Dude, you know? Yeah. I mean, robbery, rape, fucking murder. I mean, brutal shit, too, like bludgeoning, fucking bad.
We'll get into it, but some of the shit that he did, like his warning signals for himself was kind of fucked up, too.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. So closing in on another milestone, dude, though, number 60. Just fucking crazy how they just keep coming along.
Fuck yeah, man.
So got my son Joe in here with us tonight, do a little co-hosting.
What up, Joey?
What's up, Joe?
What's up?
And as if we didn't have enough Joe and Joey's.
Right, yeah. Last week we had Cashman. Now we got
And tonight we've even got another Joe with the fucking killer himself.
Yeah, his name is Joe.
Joseph D'Angelo. So we're just a fucking plentiful fucking Joe, Joseph, Joey, whatever.
I didn't even know that was his name.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Until Cummins said it and then.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's cool. We got the rotating Joey co-host thing going on here.
Gonna have
to
get Shul in here pretty soon.
Right? We should. He would be fun to have in here. So that would be funny that all our guest hosts' names are Joe, Joey, or Joseph, or whatever.
Subject.
Or Chris, or Pete. What the fuck is going on?
Right, Chris,
dude.
Pete, and Joe. Yeah, we've got a whole bunch of them. Last week was good. Speaking of Joe, I had Joey Cashman, Gore Money.
Gormonger come in. Doing that goddamn black dolphin shit, though.
Oh, dude. That's some harsh fucking shit, man. Siberian fucking hell on earth. 700 fucked up individuals in one place.
I don't remember the number. Thousands of victims between the 700. Yeah, man.
Like harsh.
Just full of the most brutal rapists, killers.
Cannibals, fucking
and
all
the maniacs.
The maniacs.
The maniacs. Don't forget about
that. They were all obsessed with that fucking word maniac.
They were. It's really odd.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. So, and CK dishing out some metal knowledge with some Opeth, a prog metal band from Stockholm, Sweden. So that was cool. Part
Cashman's
of his
crazy ass pickup story, dude.
Wow, that was good with throwing
really
the dude out of the truck.
Yeah,
the ship burning up, fucking horizon. Yeah,
oh,
that was a good story. So that was great.
If you guys didn't hear that that last episode,
yeah, go back to number 58.
Go check
that
shit out. Holy
that was
fuck,
a good
Cashman
one.
Had a good time with that.
Now this week, as you said, we're only doing Golden State Killer in the whole episode. So no CK. No metal, no mayhem. It's all
now. As far as no metal,
State.
We will still be having bumper music,
of course,
between segments. Just so y'all know, we're not going to leave you slacking with no fucking metal.
Well, of course, we're not going to play like top 40 music.
Right,
here.
Right. We're
gonna, actually stepping it up a notch, getting pretty nasty tonight
it's
too.
Be it's some brutal music,
brutal
tonight.
Fucking bands tonight. And we do have some metal news at the tail end in the outro with some interviews coming up.
Hell yeah!
So you definitely want to stick around. So good point, Chris. We're not abandoning metal tonight. We're just not going to have a metal segment. So.
And the whole story's chaos in itself, or mayhem.
It's
in
total
itself.
Mayhem and
it's
murder
total
throughout.
In itself, so.
Yeah, big time. So definitely going to be wild. If you don't know a lot about the Golden State Killer, you're definitely going to know after this, because I think we go pretty extensive on this. I know when we were reviewing the notes.
I was looking.
You were
like,
"God damn, this is
going
to be a big one." So we'll see. We never know how long these episodes are going to go until we do them. So we'll see.
Fuck yeah.
And we're looking forward to a good one.
Hoping we're pleasing you people out there listening.
That's right. That's right. Now, on a serious note, we do want to put out an update. We don't normally do this, but we were contacted by somebody. Now, we did a previous podcast on a hitman, Tony Patera.
AKA Tommy Karate.
Tommy Karate. We talked about Tommy in that one episode we did on him. And we were contacted, though, by a friend of Tommy's, Jim Cooley. Apparently, Tommy heard about the podcast, which is just crazy to think, because Tommy's in prison.
Yeah, he's in prison
for life.
He heard about it, like,
quite a few murders.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and we featured him. He wasn't happy about it. Now, the problem that he had with it was the book that was written about
him. It wasn't about the fact that we were talking about what he did.
Right, because I told these guys, I'm like, hey, you know, like, we were just talking about the book. This is a comedy podcast, certainly not meant to be like an information source, right. You know what I mean?
I'm giving you an idea on something to look into for yourself, basically.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're coming to our show for, like, good hardcore info, you're probably in the wrong place, because we joke around a lot.
Yeah.
So anyway, this book, The Butcher by Philip Carlo, apparently has a lot of stuff in there that's not correct. Now, we did have this conversation with William Harder about that Night Stalker book that Ramirez said half of it was, or 25% of it was bullshit.
Yep.
This has come up before, so that's not out of the realm of possibility. And certainly, I have heard myself Philip Carlo mentioned many times as an author that has had some issues with the facts.
With facts, yeah.
So which, in this case...
even after we did the Kuklinski episode, I did come across some shit about Carlo.
Yeah, oh, like, yeah.
Information,
a lot of people like, I don't know.
So true.
Right. So it's hard to say, but certainly we meant no disrespect. You know, we're just reporting what we're reading and watching. But the one of the issues that Tommy had was that Carlo really goes into this because the one
about
informant,
voice.
Ganji, who turned evidence and, you know, ratted on everybody, said that Tommy had this real high-pitched squeaky voice, which... You know, it just pisses Tommy off. He doesn't have, apparently, that kind of voice.
Apparently he does. I've never heard him speak.
I haven't either, but according to Jim Cooley, he does not sound like that. So Tommy just wanted people to know, hey, like, they're mocking me. Like, this isn't true. And I get it. And another issue that Tommy had was he didn't want to be thought of as a serial killer because he's really not. He's a mob. He was a mob hitman, and he comes clean with that.
He's like, yeah,
he didn't even deny it in his trial.
Which is fun. Good on him.
He's like, whatever, man.
He's like, don't talk this shit about me because it ain't real.
Right. So Tommy just wanted us to clarify that he doesn't have a high-pitched, squeaky-sounding voice, and he's not a serial killer. He's just a member of a crime family, and he was doing hits. But that's his, you know, that's happened. He's not, you know, that other stuff. So we wanted to pass it along. And it is awesome to know that our show is actually getting to people listening like Tommy, man. That's fucking
crazy
to think that somebody inside a federal prison
thanks, Tommy.
Would hear about us. So, right. And it's cool that he, you know, cared enough about it to say, hey, I'd like you guys to get it right. So, hey,
fuck,
we're getting
it
right. So thanks to Jim Cooley for coordinating that. Now, one more thing about Tommy, he's actually become quite the artist, man.
Yes, he has.
I showed you some
of
these pictures, man. Pretty impressive portraits, and apparently won a contest or came in second place in a contest at the prison for his artwork. And we're looking at doing a piece for the studio.
Maybe
that would
Tommy
be
hook
so
us up,
cool,
man.
Man. Tommy Patera artwork here in the studio. So we'll keep you guys posted on that.
Yeah, so, and thanks to Jim for reaching out to us too,
right,
as well, man.
Yeah, because it could have got ugly, you know, if somebody doesn't like it and really got, you know, a little upset beyond just talking, you know. Now, speaking of Jim, you could check out his podcast, The Life, which is about the mafia, organized crime, and law enforcement. It's good stuff. I checked out some of that first episode he did. It's
which
got Tommy Patera's
lawyer.
Attorney, right? So that's really interesting. And he also does an MMA, UFC, boxing, and wrestling podcast called The Last Round. And so give him a listen. Check it out. And also, thanks to our sponsor, Psycho Killer Bobbleheads.
Thank you, Psycho Killers.
Loving these fucking bobbleheads. We got some ones out here tonight. Joey, who you got over there, man?
Anton LaVey.
Anton LaVey. Fuck yeah. Chris? That
pogo staring at me like always, dude. Like even at my house, I got the damn pogo shrine.
You do. You do. And we got Ramirez and, then we got, and
Albert
else?
Fish.
Albert Fish.
Ramirez right. flipping you off, which is fitting.
Real quick, check this out. All right. So I got the fucking the picture of Pogo sitting there in the skull mouth at my house, right?
Right.
I got the bobbleheads sitting just like if you're facing it to the left of it. I got the fucking the Pogo doll head that I got from Robin at the fucking Dark History Convention right. sitting there.
Creepy and as then fuck.
Next to the skull that the Pogo picture's in is the box that the bobblehead came in. Well, me and Michael walked in the other night. I got a jar of moonshine sitting in front of it, and it just amplifies the picture of fucking Pogo's face off of the box through the moonshine. Wow. I'm like, well, yep, moonshine's bad for me. That was fucking weird, dude.
That is weird.
I got a picture of it. It's fucking awesome looking.
Yeah, you awesome. Do have quite the Pogo shrine.
Yeah, I don't know why it just happened.
I don't know why either. So, yeah, those are awesome. So go to psychokillerbobbleheads.com. Tell them Murder Metal Mayhem sent you. They'll put you to the front of the line. And William will get that order yes, right the will. Fuck out. So check that out. So, boys, it's time to dig down fucking deep. Transport ourselves to the land of sun and fun in California. But lots of fucking blood and nasty shit.
It's going to get crazy.
It is. So, Chris,
let's go to the fucking Golden State and let's get our murder on.
Fuck yeah.
Carcass.
Some Carcass. Rot and Roll. Love that song. And I thought it was a fitting song to play before we start talking about some murder in, Chris.
Yeah, so. You got a fucking... I mean, they all rot.
Right. That's true. And got Joey in here hanging through the whole fucking episode with us. So Joe's going to be here talking some Golden State Killer with us. You ready for this?
Cannot wait. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Fucking A, man.
All right, so one of the U.S.'s most prolific and diverse criminal pieces of shit to ever walk the earth, the Golden State Killer, terrorized California from the north and all the way down to the south, along his way to fucking Los Angeles, where his crimes fucking escalated to some brutal...
Like hardcore, like...
Yeah, like couldn't even tell who they were when he got
the
done
fuck
with
out
them.
Of people.
Yeah, so went from burglary to that. So he really covers the whole gamut, man. I don't think I've ever seen a serial killer that's been like that. Like multiple things.
Habitual. Crazy. All of them, too. Like robbery nonstop. Rapists nonstop. And then
he went in these like cycles of doing these individual things. I don't think I've ever seen that before. So I thought that was kind of cool.
It's pretty nuts.
I didn't realize it to the gravity that it was until I actually read and listen to things and watch them in documentaries about this. It's fucking unbelievable. And the way they caught him has got to be the coolest fucking thing ever.
Science, bitches.
Right? Bill Nye, motherfucker. So as we get started with this one, it is important to point out that there is a guy in custody charged with multiple murders. He's not currently charged with the rapes, I don't think, or the robberies, because the robberies are past.
Yeah, past the freaking...
They can't go back to the robberies.
What do they call that shit?
Yeah, it's that thing.
I know what it is.
I know what it is, too, and I can't think of it. We are kind of stupid. we're just a couple of dudes doing a podcast in Hayworth, Illinois. But anyway, his trial is not scheduled yet. I don't know what the holdup is, other than legal bullshit. But the man that has been allegedly linked to the crimes is charged by matching his DNA. So that's pretty fucking convincing to me.
Right.
Joseph D'Angelo. So it is kind of funny. We got Joe in here with us. Joseph D'Angelo.
So it's
another
perfect.
Joey on the fucking stack. But
it's perfect.
We're just going to use the word D'Angelo or the name D'Angelo. I'm not going to keep saying allegedly.
Just going to say D'Angelo.
We're saying that it's allegedly right now, but from this point on,
just
whatever. Because I'm not going to keep fucking saying that over and over again.
The alleged suspect.
Because from watching Letterkenny, I can't say the word allegedly without laughing.
I was thinking the same thing.
It's impossible. If you've never watched that show, you must watch that show.
Statue of fucking limitations.
Fucking funny, man.
That's what it is. Statue Sorry, dude. Limita- it popped no. into my head. I had to
no,
say
No, I
it.
Was like, what is that, another show you're talking about? Statue of limitations. Like he's in a like a fucking history fucking B or something.
Bitch, what?
But yeah, the rapes would have been past the statute of limitations. No, that's fine. So anyway, that's the deal with Joseph DeAngelo. So it is what it is, but for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
They linked the dude with DNA to multiple fucking murders, so...
Yeah, so you know it's pretty much likely him.
Exactly. So the Golden State Killer was known as various names as he morphed from one type of criminal to another, and like I said, ending in these bludgeoning, brutal fucking murders, men and women both in their homes, which is fucked up. He had so many different sides to his fucking disturbing fucking criminal genius.
He had everything planned out the way he did everything.
Yeah, like, I mean, pre-tying the fucking shoelaces. I mean, all that shit he did. I mean, putting the shit in their house, which is fucked.
Yeah.
Hiding weapons in your own house to come back and kill you with. I mean, pretty just, fucked up shit.
When he was stealing like the random shit he stole. Like, oh, I know. Weird shit, man.
Yeah.
So he starts out his robbery career as the Visalia Ransacker, which is the town he was in. Then he graduates, if you want to call it that, to the East Area Rapist.
Which is a great graduation.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. Quite the ceremony.
I'm going to go
the
from violating.
Circumstance.
Going from violating your house to violating you.
Pump and circumstance.
Pump and circumstance. Jesus Christ.
Circumstance.
Oh. God damn it. Just stop.
I'm sorry.
No, it's funny.
Oh, he did spend a brief stint as the Diamond Knot Killer. That's kind of gay. I mean, that's not a cool name.
Is it the type of knot that he was
using? It was, yeah. Okay. It's a naval knot. We'll talk about it. Continued killing as the original Night Stalker, not
Before
the Richard Ramirez
Night
Stalker. So that's part of the problem with this dude. They can't find a cool name for him. You know what I mean? Because that's usually what makes people remember a lot of these fucks.
Hence Ramirez,
is their
the Night
name.
Stalker.
Yeah, Night Stalker was perfect.
If you mention the Night Stalker to anybody before this, everybody's going to say Richard Ramirez.
Right,
so
but
never going to mention
But D'Angelo him. Was the original Night Stalker, right. But then they had to call him the original Night Stalker after Ramirez because then they got people confused. So very confusing. Now, he finally becomes known as one, which is much easier, Golden State Killer.
Because it was all California.
That's right. And the author, the late author, Michelle McNamara, she's the one that came up with that name. She wrote an article that appeared in, I think, the LA Times, or I reference it later. She writes this article. She calls him the Golden State Killer because she thought, because they did link the original Night Stalker with the East Area Rapist with DNA.
Right.
Before they knew who he was, but they knew it was the same person.
Through the DNA, they knew that person.
Correct. So that's what Michelle was saying is because of these crimes from Sacramento to L.A., it's one person. I'm just encompassing the whole thing as one Golden State Killer. So she's the one that did that. It winds up becoming part of her book that she published in 2018 called I'll Be Gone in the Dark. I put pictures of it up on our Facebook. It's a fantastic book. She died unexpectedly.
Like before the book was finished.
Yeah.
And her husband, who everybody...
Everybody knows him.
Like Patton Oswalt, the comedian. Yeah. That was
He's
her husband.
So funny. I love Patton Oswalt. Anything
well, I thought it was really cool the way he gets the researcher that helped Michelle finish the book. And then he wrote an afterword, and then he got another author to do a foreword. And it's very well done. But the thing is, the book was written before they caught him. Pretty much everything you look at, other than some of the more recent, is going to be before he was captured because they just caught him in 2018.
Yeah.
They were looking for this motherfucker for 44 years. So it took a long time, and that's why pretty much everything you see doesn't identify Joseph DeAngelo because they didn't know it was Joseph DeAngelo until 2018 when that DNA was done. So anyway, so very confusing, but that's the case. I just kind of wanted to set the table of how we're going to do this, and we're going to break down each of the sections
from the ransacker to the
East Area Rapist to the original Night Stalker, and then tying it all together with Golden State Killer. So that's how we're going to do this. So are we ready?
Yeah, let's get into the Ransacker.
The Visalia Ransacker is the first section here we're going to do. There was a string of robberies that happened in Visalia, California from April 74 to an abrupt ending in December 75. So not that long of a year and a half, almost 2 years. Not that long of a time to do this much fucking bullshit.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
Yeah, because Visalia is a city of about 140,000 that sits between in the middle of the state, 200 miles east of San Francisco, about 200 miles north of Los Angeles. At the time of the robberies, Visalia was a much smaller city with a little.
That's very like 140,000 now, right?
Not yeah, then. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's grown a lot. There were similar crimes in 73 and 76, but they're not really sure if it was associated, if they could attribute it to this ransacker just stuff.
Basically, take the 74 to 75 as his time.
Right. Those are the confirmed ones.
Just because they, yeah, exactly. Because they know they're confirmed. Exactly.
Right. And I thought, Joe, I don't know what you think, but that ransacker, kind of a lame nickname. But then at that time, you know, they weren't maybe as catchy, but that just sounds kind of lame. You know,
they're not like it when they're
ransacker. You know?
Right, they're not.
Just ransack my house, Lord.
That's like Abe Lincoln called the rail splitter. That's kind of a...
The rail splitter?
Yeah, that was one of his nicknames, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it was you could take that funny. A lot of ways, you know, splitting sounds some like fucking rails.
Abraham Lincoln did a bunch of cocaine. What the fuck?
Or butt fucking. One of the two. That's what I was thinking. The old rail splitter. Man.
Were you with Lincoln last night? No, we were splitting some rails last night. The
fuck? So it's believed that there's one murder and approximately 120 burglaries that happened during this time. Yeah, so that
and that's
busy.
In a year. 120 robberies.
That's a lot. The creepy busy. Thing was that he was a cop in a nearby town of Exeter, California. At the time, so he's a cop by day, burglarizing at night.
That's how you get away with it. You know how shit works.
Oh, yeah. And he was doing his research with burglaries and executing them with such precision that it was believed that the burglar was either a military or a cop. So, obviously, they were right. Pretty funny that in the case of Joseph DeAngelo, he was both...
A cop in the Navy.
Right.
And he was a cop.
Yeah, he was in the Navy and he was a cop.
Yeah, I guess he wasn't military police in the Navy, but
yeah, I don't remember
but
his job in the Navy.
Still in the military, though.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely funny that he was both checking both those boxes there. But he lived close by. That was kind of his thing. He would live in a town that was close, but not too close.
And yeah, he didn't.
And
live
he was
in
doing
the
his reconnaissance and shit. And then he would go and he'd fucking hit these people and. Some fucked up shit.
Yeah, he definitely had it all planned out to where the way he wanted it. He knew what he was doing,
he
needed to do, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was very, very meticulous about this. Now, he would break into single-family homes, tear the fucking place apart, which is, of course, where that ransacker nickname comes from.
What's up, ransacker?
That's right, you got sounds it, like ransacker.
Sounds like a damn nickname for somebody in a, like a, somebody's name in
the
a
little
cut
rascals
for a motorcycle
or
club or some shit. This is ransacker over here.
So he would only take small items such as women's undergarments, jewelry, photographs of the women.
Love the panties.
Yeah, he would focus mainly on scattering the women's underwear throughout the house. He just had an obsession with that.
It was really weird. Yeah. He did a lot of very strange things, going through their photo albums and taking pictures of them, which is creepy as hell.
That is fucking odd, dude.
Yeah. He would also sometimes take one earring instead of the whole pair, which is weird. So, sounds like just some really just odd, very
petty,
disturbing things.
Petty shit. Some petty
I can't
stuff.
Imagine. He did also take, they said, guns and other stuff, too. But
I can see the one earring, because back in, like, the freaking 70s and 80s, dudes only wore one
That's
earring
right.
back
That's
then,
right.
man. He's like, I don't need two.
That's
I'm not
right.
a queer.
Didn't you wear two? I've seen pictures of you with two.
Yeah, I do wear two.
Now, he typically went through the screens by cutting them, was very agile, being able to scale fences very easily. So you hear that a lot of how athletic he was and fit that he was able to
yeah, when I
get
see
away
that, though,
quick.
I look at it as like, I see that though, how he's agile and everything. And I got to remember, this is back in the 70s. Because you see his arrest picture. I'm like, how this motherfucker agile at all?
But I know.
I was like, wait.
But he also, they believe that was all bullshit with the wheelchair and stuff, which I'm going
to
bring up. Yeah, because there's some the people investigating that were like, that motherfucker was on his bike going 100 miles an hour on the freeway the week before that.
God damn.
He was not some old feeble man. He was pretty fucking fit.
Especially with his background.
Yes. So he goes through the screens. Now, the fucked up thing was he put plates and cups up against the doors, which was like his alarm system, which is very Vietnam. Which comes into play
later.
It does. So he escalates that activity. Yes. But that's a very Vietnam like war tactic to trip off like cups. Yeah, somebody opens that door, noise. Everything's
falling. I hear the noise.
But right. He did a bunch of glass bottles. So like if you heard the clinking, he knew.
Sure. Yeah, he knew somebody was coming. So he did do a tour in Vietnam in the early 70s while he was in the Navy. So who knows? But that whole thing would morph, like you said, Chris, into some more evil shit beyond that.
Wow.
Now, there's your statute of limitations, Chris, and run out on the robberies. D'Angelo was not charged with any of the burglary stuff, so none of that's on the list of charges. But there was one murder that the police believe he did when he was the ransacker. Yeah, that would have been September 75.
With that little girl?
Yeah, that was fucked up, man. Her dad stepped in. He was trying to... Kidnapper, the dad steps in, they struggle. He ends
up getting shot. I don't remember. Did the dad end up dying?
Yeah,
he did. I thought so. I didn't remember offhand if he did.
Yeah.
But he saved his daughter's fucking life.
He
for
did.
Sure.
He did. And
because there's no doubt he was going to kill her.
Yeah. And the ransacker got all freaked out, and that's when he fucking was done. Like, yep. He's like, okay, I can't do this shit anymore. He jumped on a stolen bike and got away.
They did an interview with the little girl, obviously, later.
Yeah.
And said that, you know, she remembers going hiking with her dad and all this. Wow. And so she was real close to him.
That's fucked up, but, man.
So,
I mean, what an awful way to fucking die. But like you said,
bravo,
Chris.
Bravo to him.
Very noble to go out fucking protecting your child.
I'll fucking die for any one of my kids.
Yeah, I mean, all three of us are obviously dads. And so with Father's Day coming up, never even thought of that, right, man. We just
Father's Day episode.
Yeah, kind of a Father's Day.
Father's Day tribute.
The father of the year.
Yeah.
That
daughter's dad is the father of the year.
Big time. Right. Big time. Now, the last ransacker crime they believe is where the police had staked out a garage where they'd said there was some activity from the ransacker, and there was a cop waiting for him. D'Angelo actually screamed out like a girl.
That's what they said. Like fucking screamed.
Tore
like
off his mask for some reason. Which makes no sense. Right. Shoots at the cop, who shattered his flashlight, and then he escaped again on a bike.
On a fucking bike. What's it with him? How are these cops not catching a motherfucker on a 10-speed?
I know. And fucking, why are there all these bikes just laying around? Yeah, like, dude, fucking like, chain your shit up, fool, you know?
God damn.
So,
well, bikes can go through, like, backyards and stuff. Cop cars can't.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they can.
How many times have you ran from the cops on a bike?
I plead the fifth.
Statute of limitations.
Man.
So D'Angelo moves from the area soon after this incident. So further evidence he was likely the Visalia ransacker. Many believe this time in Visalia was sort of a training ground, kind of gave him a chance to try out some shit.
And he's going to escalate from here, too. So it's going to be ridiculous.
Fuck yeah.
Next up, we've got the EAP.
That's right.
EAR. Ear.
EAR.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, Lividity. I love Lividity.
And that song, very fitting for this segment here.
Fuck yeah, Kill Then Fuck.
Kill Then Fuck. I mean, that's kind of what he's doing. He's like, killing and fucking.
I ain't gonna lie. One of my favorite Lividity shirts ever is the one that says it's not about Satan, it's about the pussy.
Yeah. Yeah, those guys had some really good merch, fuck yeah, man. Dude. And hoping to get an interview with Dave from Lividity here. Hoping pretty soon. So trying to work through that. Great. Dave's a great guy. Anyway, we love Lividity, and this episode getting kind of nasty with the bumper music, so keep that shit going. So now we move into the East Area Rapist time of D'Angelo. He moves out of the area down to Sacramento in California. He's got another job as a cop, this time with Auburn, which is part of that Sacramento metro area.
Right. It's like suburb shit.
Yeah. It's like 13,000 people. So small town. Crimes, you know, associated with East Area Rapist, or EAR, as some call them, which is really silly. June 76 to June 79. So, again, a relatively short period of time. 3 years, raped 51 women. Yeah, I was going to say,
short time with a lot of fucking shit that he did.
And that's the ones they know about. You know, there could be others. Now, it's just hard to say.
You know how it is, like, with rape victims, sometimes they don't want to come forward.
Well, sure. Like, I mean, it's embarrassing, I'm sure. It's, you know, humiliating and just awful.
But if that happened to you, come forward. Say something about it, man. Well, yeah,
because that's just, you want the shit to stop, you know?
Yeah, come forward. Say something.
So these crimes are centered around the three towns in the East Sacramento area: Carmichael, Citrus Heights, and Rancho Cordova.
That's such a cool name.
Isn't it? Rancho, I thought it was kind of cool, too. His MO was to search for single women in single-story homes, most often by like a school, a trail, or a park, or a way he could get away. Because Joe, like you said, with the bike, he gets out on grass. I mean, the cops aren't going to catch him.
Yeah, he's out.
So that's probably what he was doing and how he was getting away.
If I can get on, say, here in Bloomington, if I can jump on Constitution Trail.
Oh, yeah.
Go down a bit, cut through, you're fucking done.
Yeah, you're gone.
He probably had a preset trail. He knew he was going to bike to that path. Oh, sure.
And he was in such good shape, he was able to really haul ass. So, you know, he was only seriously chased once, but he shot and seriously wounded the pursuer. So, you know, he was usually getting away with literally scot-free. Nobody was even touching him. They do believe that the East Area Rapists would do extensive reconnaissance, noting their schedules and when these women were alone.
Right, he'd watch their houses for a few days and whatever. Stalker-ass shit for real.
Big time. Looking in windows, usually actually going into the homes. This is so fucked up. Several times so he knew the layout. Storing weapons in the house.
Yeah, I was going to say, leave the murder weapons or ligatures, the bondages, whatever, just in their own house. So they didn't know about it.
He's like,
I don't got to bring shit. I just hear already.
Right.
Fucking my time.
Right. So he knew where the light switches were, knew every room of the house, knew if she had a dog, knew if she had a boyfriend or a husband or somebody that was hanging around.
He didn't like dogs.
No, he did not.
No, he didn't like dogs.
He also had got women that didn't have a male in the house also, so
as
much as he could
to deal with that, or wait till they were gone or whatever. Right.
And in the beginning, that's what he does, and then he switches, which is again fucked up for a serial killer to change like that.
And with the dog thing, he actually had what they called dog repellent,
right?
Which like they think is what threw some of the dogs off his scent, because he's just spraying that shit. And they're like, I'm fucking lost, dude.
Right.
I don't know what dog. I didn't look up what dog repellent is or what's in it or anything.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. Like, if you put that in your head, like, just in case there's a dog, I'm bringing this with as a tactical option.
Right.
Fuck. You're thinking about everything you're going to
do. Oh, yeah. I mean, he does not leave any stone unturned, that's for sure. And what's fucked up is a lot of these women were wakened in their sleep. With a flashlight in their face, and a lot of time he had no pants on. So he's pantsless, he's ready to go.
What's up, dude?
Ready to rock. But many of his victims, it's kind of funny, were all in agreement that the East Area Rapist had a little peepee.
What's up, Dick?
So he had a little peepee, almost like micro-sized fucking penis. So kind of fucked up.
Also had the ED like Chikatilo.
Yeah.
Right.
So maybe he was pissed about it. I don't know. But if you listen to
take my little dick, bitch.
If you listen to Dan Cummins' Time Suck podcast on Golden State Killer, he mocks him real bad about the little dick thing and the high pitched voice. It's pretty fucking funny. Dan's podcast is great. It's one of the ones we do enjoy.
I do fucking love
all three of us just love that shit. He just does the funniest voices. East Area Rapist would attack with a ski mask on, typically, and disguise his voice by talking through clenched teeth And I heard that a lot. So you
could still like, hi, guys.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hey,
hey, suck my little dick,
man. My little dick, man.
So he would usually have a knife or a gun in his hand and scare their victims into submission.
Also a different colored ski masks, too.
Yeah.
Throughout the things that Dan says that he had a red one, he had a blue one, green one or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, he was accessorizing, apparently.
Yeah.
He's
trying to keep him fashion with
That's
the
right.
times, man.
That's right, dude. Chris, you would wear certain ones in the fall, right? Dude. Different than you're going to wear. You don't wear white after fucking Labor Day.
You know? What's that blood on it?
I don't wear white.
I don't wear white at all. White. That's what Jenny's looking at my t-shirts, dude. Where I have my shirts, it's literally like I need to call an engineer.
It's a black hole.
To see if the load bearing is too much for the thing I've got it on. Right. It's ridiculous. But you see like one gray shirt in there. That's like the change in the color goes from black, gray, black. See, like this shirt, kind of a rare, you know,
rarity,
for me,
yep,
kind of
yep.
gray, but... You digging it, Chris. Black. You know what this shirt is,
man,
dude.
Fucking goddamn Dahmer all day.
Yeah, Dahmer tour shirt. So Shaker's Cigar Bar. Love that place. So anyway.
Why didn't you get the pink one?
I don't know. I got that one for you. Yeah. Right, extra tight so your nipples would fucking poke through it. So anyway, this guy's fucked. I mean, he's just a fucking piece of shit. He has this system, rape more than 50 women. Tie him up with shoelaces, again, the ones that he had pre-tied together. He would lock, if there were kids, he would lock them up in a room. He would tie them up. He was also known to cut cloth into strips, which is kind of weird that he wouldn't do that.
Prior.
Because that seems to me very tedious, unless he was doing it to, like, fuck with them. You know, like, what is he doing with these strips?
Just
intimidate.
Because,
I mean, I would be like, okay... What the fuck are you doing?
I will be too.
Are we going to do a craft idea that you've got?
Paper
Were
mache?
You on fucking Pinterest and you got a fucking idea? It's a cool fucking craft idea? I don't fucking know. So anyway.
What up, Martha Stewart? What you doing over there?
That's right. Hey, those are my good fucking drapes, motherfucker.
Yeah, what the hell, dude? At least use the fucking, at least use the kids' bed sheets,
that's
man.
Right.
Fuck.
Those ones are already stained. Use those, not my good ones.
So he was known also to take the women into another room, assault her, sometimes multiple times over several hours. He would take a break, go have a fucking snack, which was kind of fucked up.
Go have some Ritz crackers, they said.
Yeah, he was all about the cheese whiz and the Ritz crackers.
Hey,
and like,
man.
That is good stuff.
It Everybody's
is.
Got their vice.
You'd have a few beers, Chris. I mean, that's nothing wrong with that.
What kind of beer you got in the fridge? You assholes drink light. I'm about to kill you, and all you got's light beer.
She's got fucking. She's tied up, just been fucking raped, and this motherfucker's hanging out on the back porch.
You got to eat.
Drinking a beer and fucking eating their food. So very fucking bizarre shit. He was known to like talk to himself, and then one of the rapes, he was screaming out something about Bonnie. I hate you.
There was that thing because he was supposed to get married to this chick.
Well,
named
right
Bonnie
when they actually caught him.
Yeah.
And they went back and looked at his history. He did date a Bonnie. They were engaged
and
she broke it off.
And so like, yeah, I do.
So there was one of the rape victims that said he was saying this Bonnie, I hate you.
Just talking to himself in the corner and shit.
Yeah.
Just fucking flipping his wig.
He was definitely fucked up, to say the least. So if D'Angelo is the Golden State Killer, it definitely makes a lot of sense with the police, the military background. And the fact that he's able to get in and get out of there without getting caught.
He knows tactics and he knows what to do.
Yeah. And so definitely makes sense. Now, at first, he was targeting the single women, but this is fucked. After a town hall meeting about the attacks, a male that was at the meeting stands up and says he would not let the East Area rapist rape his wife. He couldn't believe that a man would be in the house and this would happen.
And him not know about it.
Him not be able to stop
it. Do anything about it.
Which is fucked up because what if the dude had a gun or something? I mean, what are you going to do?
Right.
I mean, it's fucked up.
I mean, I get it if he has a firearm sitting with him at all times. But
well,
if he already knows the layout of your house.
Right. You're at a very big disadvantage.
He's just going to come up on you, dude.
Yeah. And you've been woke up, a flashlight in your face.
Yeah.
Dude's
you're
got
struggling.
This little fucking tic-tac for a fucking cock. Standing there, you're like, what the fuck is that? Like, is
look
that
dick,
a fucking
dude.
Skin tag or is that your dick?
Skin
I mean, what the
tag.
Fuck?
Get the fuck out of here. He said, is that a fucking skin tag?
So anyway, So this guy stands up, says he can't fucking believe this shit would happen. So how fucked up is it that he and his wife become victims? That's fucked up. There isn't a picture on the internet that a podcaster posted of this meeting and they, who they think D'Angelo was.
In the meeting?
Right. But I have saw many other things that discredit it. However, it was very likely the dude was at these meetings because how else would he have known who stood up and said this? Because he probably followed him home to find out who the fuck this was because I'm going to fucking get you. And then he starts targeting couples just to like defy it. Like, fuck you. I'm a fucking badass. I'm the smartest man in the room.
Yeah,
and like, I'm going to fucking do it. Don't you, would you, you guys agree?
It was me, right? Yeah. No, 100%.
That's why he was doing that. With the
we
couples.
Just did one on somebody else too. I can't remember who it was, but actually helped with the search party looking for
a person. Yeah.
It was something else I was listening to.
Yeah. It sounds very familiar. Like
where the person that actually committed
Kemper was all about like hanging out with the cops and
get buddy buddy with them. And then they're like, oh, there's no way it's Kemper. And then
exactly.
It's fucked up.
I know what it was. I can't remember the name offhand, but it was the kid that killed the little girl, had him stuffed under his waterbed and shit.
Oh, yeah.
And fucking, he helped search party and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I do know that one.
I can't remember the name, but I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, no,
I may not sound like it sometimes, but I do.
No, you do. So, I don't know. It's very, you know, interesting how this all plays out. Now, one of the things that the police point to as a common thread to the ransacker was also that the EAR used dishes and cups as a means of alarm. Now, for the theory of rapist now... What? He took it to another level, dude.
Like the ransacker put him in front of the door, so when the door fucking opened,
the plates and the bottles and everything
knocks over. He would, the rapist, he's a rapist, he'd take the male that was there and tie them up in one room and then just stack plates on top of their back.
Yes.
Take the woman into another room.
Right.
And he's like, I'm going to do my shit, what I'm doing. If I hear these plates, any of these dishes hit the ground,
you motherfuckers are
both
all dead.
Both of you are both fucking dead.
Right.
So they had to stay there still as fuck and not drop these plates in order to not die.
That's fucked up.
How fucked up is that?
Oh my God. I couldn't even imagine.
And
that
like
shit.
You said, ties between the fucking Easter rapist and the fucking
ransacker. I mean, that's like, very, very. I mean, who else would do some shit like that, right?
Yeah, it's fucking
nuts. So it's fucking crazy. And he would also, just like the ransacker, tear the houses apart. So he was just still ransacking.
Ransacking and raping.
That's right.
That's a new Gormonger song.
R&R. Little R&R.
R&R.
Tears the house apart, steals things, pictures, jewelry. So he's still doing the same bullshit. Yeah, keepsakes, mementos. Shit. BTK did that. Fucking a lot of them have done it. Keep things to relive it later, driver's licenses, shit like that.
And if you're Ted Bundy, you just kept the whole body somewhere.
Right, or a skull somewhere to fuck it as needed, you know.
Or a nipple belt.
That's right.
Ed Gein getting it.
Can't
in.
Go wrong with a nipple belt, man.
Dude, I'm going to make one.
Or a box of nine.
I want a nipple belt. I really do.
You can order one on Etsy.
Yeah. So with the East Area Rapist, definitely part of his MO to exhibit total dominance. He had this God complex thing going on over his victims, which is very common with serial killers. Now, another fucked up thing about the East Area Rapist case is that he would sometimes call the victims weeks, months, or sometimes...
years afterwards.
Years, dude. That's fucked up.
Years.
Heavy breathing. There's a lot of these on the internet, so if you want to check them out,
I've heard some. It's just like straight up...
Very
like,
creepy.
It's straight up...
Right.
I'll kill you.
And that one, remember when we played, that's fucked up.
Yeah, dude.
Man.
Like,
God damn.
Like, tormenting these people their whole fucking
life. I mean, I can't even imagine going through that, but then to have this dude just randomly calling you like that, and of course, long before... Caller ID or Star 69 or anything like that.
He said 69.
Star 67, actually, for prank calls.
G-Money.
G-Money.
So these poor women who are likely struggling to cope with having that to happen to them.
Yeah, about the time they're getting over it, all of a sudden, boom, there it is again.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
Well, a couple of them didn't let it bother them. They were like, okay, that happened.
I don't know how. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, that you're able to overcome it, because that's got to be incredibly difficult.
Well,
and I'm sure more than not were, you know, really having struggles trouble, and probably affected them for a lot of years in many areas of their lives. I can't even imagine it.
Well, as Cummins said, the same lady that didn't let it bother her, she moved on from it and got a call from a detective that she had never spoken to and said, oh, we got him. And she was all ecstatic about to her husband, was like, they got him.
Right.
So that's she cool. was in the mindset that they got him, and obviously they didn't, but.
Right. So for a 3-year period, the East Area rapist attacks were at 50. There were times when he would stop for a month or two, but then would resume, scaring the shit out of these people in these communities. You know, 4 or 5 attacks in a month, dude.
He's going to town.
Pretty crazy, man.
He's just like straight up berserker mode for real.
Oh, yeah.
Like constant berserker mode.
Locks can't stay on the shelves. Fucking alarm systems.
All that shit.
Lights,
guns, sails.
Get you a dog because he don't like them.
That's true. Yeah, I'd be surrounded by a pack of fucking dogs.
Fuck yeah, dude.
People were nailing windows shut. Fucking couples were sleeping in shifts to be on guard in case he came.
I thought you were gonna say couples were sleeping in shit. I was like, what?
December of 1977, someone claiming to be the East Area Rapist sent a poem to the Sacramento Bee entitled Excitement's Cave. Kind of strange. Some really stupid shit. Very juvenile sounding. You can read it online. Very, very silly, but, you know, they, you know, put it in the paper and stuff. And he also sent it to the cops and a local TV station. February 78, a couple ran into the East Area Rapist when walking their dog. This one was fucked up.
I was born in February 78.
There you
go. God damn it.
That's right. In the wake of this, right? So these people were both shot and killed. That got a lot of media attention because that was one he did outside like that. Due to the proximity of the other attacks and the fact a shoelace was found near the scene, the police believed that it was the East Area Rapist.
Why the shoelace? Was there DNA on the shoelace?
Well, just because he used shoelace.
It was a ligature thing. Okay, yeah. Got it. Yeah. All right.
2016, the FBI announced that they were sure that the East Area Rapist was the murderer. So many, many years later, but they think it was him. December 78, also a piece of notebook paper was discovered near one of the murder scenes. It showed locations on a hand-drawn map.
Yeah, and that was like something that they thought he did, that like he accidentally kicked out of the vehicle or whatever.
Yeah.
And didn't realize.
And then some thought he did things to throw him off, you know, some clues that didn't make any sense. Again, very smart. And of course, as a cop, he would know that, oh, they're going to think this is this, or they're going to think this is that.
I can go kill somebody. I can make it look like it was somebody else.
Right.
Stick out the wrong house.
Very, very devious, man. The word revenge was scrawled on the back of that map, and they think it could have been a fantasy map from the East Area Rapist. We don't know. It was Auburn, though, where he gets busted in 79 for shoplifting. And you were talking, Chris, about the dog repellent. What the fuck is this idiot steal? But
dog repellent.
Right? And a hammer shoved in his pants. I was wondering if he did that to make his dick
look bigger. I was just going to say, is he fucking goddamn accommodating for something there?
Yeah, because the thimble
what
wasn't
a hammer dick.
The
thimble. Like, God damn it.
So I don't know what the fuck this guy's thinking. He gets busted, and so he obviously has this thing against the dogs, because the neighbors of his, I saw it in an interview, were talking about he was screaming and cussing and like raving like a fucking maniac
about
in his backyard
dogs?
About their dogs.
You know, I didn't even see that. That's fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah, there was a good one that I watched with Jenny that was on this Fubo TV. I think it was an Oxygen special. But it showed a lot of neighbors, former co-workers of D'Angelo.
Right.
And talking about, dude was fucking Looney Tunes, man. Cussing and screaming in the backyard. And kids said he learned how to swear from D'Angelo.
I believe it.
Because he's out in his backyard saying fuck and shit and all this stuff. Yeah.
I guarantee there's kids out there that learned how to cuss from me.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
They used to let us cuss where we lived to kind of defend ourselves.
Oh, right.
Because the area we lived in was...
Because white trash.
Yeah.
White trash. Well,
it was Little Havana, really.
Right. Little Havana.
So they were letting us cuss as long as we weren't doing it to them.
Uh-huh. I get it.
So...
I get it.
We kind of use it as a defense mechanism, so...
I get it.
Now, July 5th, 79, the East Area Rapist commits his final rape. And then he leaves town for Los Angeles. He moves from the raping to killing the victims. And he had killed before, but now he was going to string together several murders.
Like a lot of murders.
In the Los Angeles area. So things continue to escalate with this guy. He's fired, of course, from the police force for the shoplifting.
You're a cop and you're stealing shit from the hardware store, dude. You're a fucking idiot.
But it didn't look like he did any time or anything.
Oh, probably not. He just got probably fired the force and that's it. Yeah, because you're a cop. All right. You're no longer a cop. We're not going to do anything else. Get the fuck out.
Right. So it's fucked up. He's got three daughters of his own.
How
fucked up is that? You know, he's raping and hurting women, and I don't know how you could do it.
Dude.
It's just ridiculous.
I don't either. Like we talked about before, you have a daughter. I got two daughters.
Right.
I couldn't even imagine doing that to another freaking female. Like,
no.
What if that was my fucking daughter or my mom or whatever?
That's terrible, man. Yeah.
Fucking...
It is. And that's why those dudes get fucked up in prison, because that's fucking awful shit.
You know, they got their own section just for them.
Yes. So the DNA aside, man, it seems very convincing, I think, that the ransackers definitely morphed into the East Area Rapist.
It makes a lot of sense.
Do you guys concur with that? You think that sounds right?
It's the same pattern.
Yeah, it's very, very similar. So... we're going to move into the final phases of the criminal career, the L.A. stuff, in the original Night Stalker. So let's play some more fucking metal, man.
Metal.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking a little crop chasing.
Little Goremonger there. Our buddy Joey Goremonger. Goremoney.
AKA Cashman out the outside. That was Crop Chaser. And anybody get on fucking YouTube, get on Facebook to the Goremonger page. Our homeboy Bubbles did a video for that song.
Right.
There's a video for it that's freaking just a bunch of us being ridiculous between Cashman's place, my place, and our homeboy Pete's place.
Nice.
Just a bunch of ridiculous. The video is awesome. Go check it out.
I
got to
check it out. I didn't know it was on there yet. Yeah, so.
Goremonger, Crop Chaser. Go check this shit out.
Fuck yeah. So so we move into the original Night Stalker phase of Golden State Killer. Now, D'Angelo moves his family south to the Los Angeles area. After being fired from the Auburn police in 1979.
For stealing.
Right. Some dog repellent and a hammer. It almost sounds like we need to add dog repellent to the list for the killer cage match.
Oh, a variable. That would be
or a variable. Good. A dog with dog repellent sprayed in its face. That'd I don't be know.
Fucking great.
So Jenny would get mad though. She doesn't like abusing animals.
So oh man, I've only kicked a dog three times my whole life.
Speaking of hammer, quick story. I have there's a sub that works for where I work, and his nickname is the Hammer. He thinks it's for that reason.
Yeah.
But everyone just goes with it and just says fuck it and just calls him the Hammer. So that's what me, Steve, and everyone else knows him as is the Hammer.
What's up, Hammer?
It's just funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
Stop. Hammer time.
So now he gets dubbed the Night Stalker, but this was taken, of course, as we talked about, by Richard Ramirez, and he kind of overshadows and runs with
the
it.
The Night Stalker.
That's right. Now, D'Angelo begins killing in Santa Barbara County, 1979, 1980, and 81. The original Night Stalker kills several people during home invasions in Santa Barbara, Orange, and Ventura counties. He does kill a woman in 86, but then that's it. So he stops. I think, you know, I mean, BTK ran into this. You start to get older, it's harder to physically do that because
right.
they all talk about how physically difficult it is to kill somebody. I mean,
yeah, you watch the movie and everything, right? Like you choke somebody, they're just like, you're dead.
Right.
No, like people that have actually done it, they're like, no, this was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
Right.
Like I actually had to put force in it and change my tactic of what I was going to do.
And so these guys get older, and a lot of them are like, I can't do it anymore. You know, like BTK started going after older women.
Because they were more struggle, frail and more. Because
he couldn't fucking handle the younger ones because he wasn't strong enough anymore. Right. So that may be the case here. Who knows, right?
Maybe it was Jesus telling BTK to stop doing it.
It's very possible because he did have the cross and that bobblehead. Yes. Now, 1980, the original Night Stalker has another nickname, the Diamond Knot Killer. Because of his diamond knots, also known as Chinese knots, that the police were finding in the ligatures he was using on his victims, considered a much more advanced knot, and that's when they would have thought he would have had the military background. Of course, he was in the Navy.
Maybe he was just in the Boy Scouts.
It's very possible.
They teach knots in the Boy Scouts.
They do.
Maybe he was a Boy Scout killer.
That's right.
How fucked would that be?
Now, I don't know exactly what a Chinese knot looks like or this diamond knot, but anyway, it's supposed to be a little difficult to tie, so kind of weird that he would go through that elaborate.
That's funny.
Almost like a clue or something, because if you were just trying to be inconspicuous, you just
right.
tie a simple knot. You wouldn't be sitting here fucking doing some shit like
That's
that.
That's kind of funny that a Chinese knot is tie.
Wow.
Jesus. Sorry, couldn't help it.
No, it's good. That's good. Now, these murders near Los Angeles were fucking brutal, man. One couple he beat to death with a piece of firewood that he found, man. That's fucking sick, man.
Just that random shit. Like, you hear some of these killers, they just find the who was it? Was it chessboard that. The fucking vodka bottles and
oh,
the sticks
yeah.
and
chess
shit.
Oh, yeah, chessboard,
yeah. Just random shit, just like...
Yeah, sticking them in their head and stuff.
And the wounds and, like, that's so fucked up how these people think sometimes. Like,
right.
Oh, there's a stick. Let's see what I can do with that.
Right.
That's so fucked up to me, man.
Yeah, it is really fucked up. And it's crazy to think, you know, that this guy was so thought, you know, like you were saying earlier, Joe, about how... He thought about this shit and planned it so
fucking meticulously. Yeah,
yeah, and so it's just crazy. I mean, how this guy was able to do this for so long, but these just got so brutal with the bludgeoning. So he was raging out like hardcore. You know,
sure. Once you get to a point, I guess you're like this type of murder is not doing it for me. Now I gotta
ramp it up a little bit more, like a drug addict would. You know?
Got to keep getting a bigger fix.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they also said, I saw something where they think like stresses in his life would tend to trigger this sort of thing in serial killers. But they think with him, the birth of his third child, kind of like put it, which would have happened right as they moved to LA, would have maybe pushed him over the edge. Because as all of us in this studio know, each of us are fathers, how stressful it is dealing with the financial part of having kids and a family. So you had a third child. If you're stressing and you just lost your job.
Yep.
And now you're moving to LA. Now, I know he became a mechanic at some time, but I'm not sure what he did, if he went straight into that. Because I didn't see anything other than the mechanic stuff. So,
and I get it. Like the kid, I got three kids myself. Like if it wasn't for me being a murderer, I'd have seven. But no, fucking yeah, I didn't see anything about what he did between the cop and fucking the mechanics, so he might have just been struggling hard as fuck,
right? Or he became a mechanic and, you know, whatever, but it's still stressful.
Yeah,
trying to support people
and going between jobs. Now you got to start at the beginning at another place when you were already doing well at one place.
Right.
Don't steal shit, motherfuckers.
That's right.
Don't kill people neither.
Yeah, especially stupid as that. You know, it's like one thing if he had been trying to steal like $100,000 or something, but to steal a hammer and dog repellent seems kind of stupid. You know?
If you're a mailman and you're broke, I get the dog repellent. but you're a cop. You got a sidearm, sir.
He's got pepper spray on his hip.
Doesn't make any sense. It's just really stupid. He just probably figured he was never going to get caught. You know, that's the thing.
And he got pretty damn close to it.
He did. He did. So the 1997 DNA confirms that the East Area Rapist was the same person as the original Night Stalker, but of course DNA was still in its infancy.
And now it's ridiculous.
And now it's amazingly good. But back then, they didn't have anything. I mean, I watched some stuff where they were comparing it to stuff or, you know, samples, but they didn't have the right sample, obviously, because they weren't getting any hits, you know.
And they weren't able to keep the records the same way we are now.
Of course.
Because now you just type it in on a computer. Right. If you're in the lab doing that, it's like, all right, got it.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was then, amazingly quick how quick they got these results back when exactly. they did their modern tests. So.
Also, with the DNA that they, there's different, like there's 23andMe, there's Ancestry. Those aren't public.
Did you say Ancestry?
Don't get excited.
So I think that's the one you're on. I think.
Fuck.
He's like the top hit in there. He's his own grandpa. So with those two sites, they're not public.
Right. But the you one can that elect, they... you can elect your Ancestry or 23andMe results to become public, and that's how that GED match works, is people actually willingly
right.
make theirs public in the hopes of family members trying to find them.
But yeah, so. There's one site that the cops and everyone use that,
right.
that is public.
Right, but they said that there could have been results from 23andMe and... Mm-hmm. Ancestry that people were, when they submitted their DNA, said it's okay.
Right.
But like you said, the default is they do not share it. Mm-hmm. That's their whole thing. So
yeah, so with that one website that they used,
right,
that's how they ended up nailing it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Caught so many others with it too.
Right. And so DNA would definitely be this fucking guy's undoing. So now we move into the last part of this.
Yes, let's do some Golden State Killer fucking follow-up.
That's right. Dude, fucking decapitated. Remember when we watched this video, dude, for the song Homo Sum? That is fucking
unbelievable. That video's fucking nasty as fuck, man.
And if you dig Decapitated, they had a big transformation because they were in a really bad car accident. And the singer was like permanently messed up and the drummer died. And they kept going.
They did what they had to do.
And they got a different singer. So this stuff is with the different singer. The other stuff's much more death metal. This is much more thrash.
And they started when they were really young.
They are incredibly fucking talented. So fucking love Decapitated. They're amazing. All right. So we are now moving into the final phase of Joseph DeAngelo. Kind of tying it all together. We did the Ransacker.
Ransacker.
We did the East Area Rapist.
We did the ear.
We did the Night Stalker, original Night Stalker, I should say. And so he was all of these things, even the Diamond Knot Killer. And so,
what'd you say, Joey? The Diamond Knot Killer?
Technically, he was raping, so he was...
Yeah, he was in the balloon knot a few times, they said.
Well, I bet he was.
Yeah.
I bet he was.
He was punching it.
So Joseph DeAngelo finally becomes the Golden State Killer as a culmination of all of his horrible crimes, from burglaries to rape, eventually murder. The Golden State Killer combines it all into one name, one simple way to remember this piece of shit, because...
Yeah, like we said, Michelle
McNamara.
McNamara. I'm terrible at pronouncing names.
No, man. It's all right. 2013 article in the Los Angeles magazine, that's what it was, entitled In the Footsteps of a Killer. And that's where she comes up with that Golden State Killer name. Now, in Michelle's website, True Crime Diary, which is still out there, she noted in 2014 that some people didn't like her moniker of the Golden State Killer because they felt the crime span, but she felt that since the crime spanned the whole state,
it makes more sense. Obviously, people that live in California, no offense to any California listeners we have, might be offended by being called that, but it makes the yeah. most sense.
It does. The state. Yeah. It really does.
Oh, yeah.
Now, later in Michelle's book, which again is I'll Be Gone in the Dark, borrowed a line from the killer for the title, which is another one of these creepy as fuck things he said. He taunted one of his female victims by telling her, "You'll be silent forever, and I'll be gone in the dark." And so that's where that name of the book comes from. So,
could you imagine
Jesus
hearing that from somebody who just violated your very being?
Right.
And that's what you hear, the last thing you hear from him?
Right. Yeah, that's just fucked up. So many credit Michelle McNamara for keeping his story alive for all those years. It was just over 30 years since his last murder, but you know, because of how many years he killed, they said it was 44 years from when he started to when he was caught.
Right.
So that's unbelievable. Using DNA from old cases, which is amazing, because like you were saying at the end of that last piece, Joe, that they used the DNA and they went to this website called GEDmatch, G-E-D Match, where people willingly share their DNA. So there was some real backlash here from people like libertarian types that are like, whoa, you know, government shouldn't have access to my DNA and all this stuff.
If you have nothing to hide, why is it so
right? And and that's the argument. But, you know, there are people that are very, very, you know, they don't have a Facebook. They don't have
my coworker.
You know, they just totally don't want to be on the grid. I get that. And that's fine. But like you said, this is they were willingly
they straight submitting up said, hey, their take results. My DNA if I can help out with something.
Exactly. Yeah, because they don't know if somebody's trying to find them. You know, a lot of people now doing genealogy trying to find
they
people.
Might have a adopted brother somewhere.
Yeah, they're trying to find a real father or mother or something like that.
Exactly. I mean, lost cousin or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's why people do this. So that's where they went to try to see if they could get a hit. And amazingly,
They did.
Yeah.
They got one.
And so what they found, I watched a really interesting interview with the guy that was like the main detective Holes, which is kind of funny. Literally H-O-L-E-S.
The hashtag for that was hot for holes.
Yeah, hot for holes. There's like a bunch of chicks that dig this dude. Yeah, it's pretty funny. So anyway, Detective Holes.
Is that like a lesbian group?
Hot for holes? No, they're all about this dude. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So anyway, Detective Holes, he was the one that kind of spearheaded all of this, you know, because he's the one that said, hey, you know, let's try to see if we can get a match, this new technology. They find it's like a second cousin. So that matched
the DNA. Yeah.
So what they had to do is they had to go back to like great grandfather. So we're talking like mid 1800s and go all the way through the family tree to try to figure out who the fuck this could be.
Yeah, they did like...
That's a lot of fucking people, but they did this with three people.
They did a whole bunch of branches to figure out who it could be. Yeah, they lined up a whole bunch of family trees and branches to just figure out
Who would have been in those areas. You know, this guy's out in fucking Maine, you know, so okay, not him.
Right.
And they were able to ages kind of dial that, you know, okay, this person would have been
filter it all out.
Yeah, this guy lives here, but he's only 23, so he doesn't
know. So they start checking these people out, and they zero in on D'Angelo, right? And so it's kind of crazy.
Especially with his background too, it like fits to a T.
It totally fit the military, the police, the Bonnie thing, which was fucked up.
Yeah.
All the areas he lived. I mean, it all made total sense. So they're talking to this guy about the investigation, and they had a very, very good indication that it was him.
Right.
And he said he was actually in his car out in front of this dude's house, wanting so badly to go into his house, you know, to approach the house and see if he would talk to him and see if he would willingly submit DNA. But then he thought, if this is really him, I could blow it.
I could fuck it all up.
And he had worked so many years on this case, and he was retiring in like a month.
Gotta get that last good case.
So he's like, man, I really want this to be over with, you know. But he just thought, I could fuck this whole thing up, or he could say, fuck you, and then go kill himself because he knows they figured it out or something like that. Because this dude was 72, you know?
Yeah, once he got, I mean, not saying somebody at 72 ain't got shit to live for.
He's not 22, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so the thing is that they were, you know, they were watching this guy, and he's out there doing yard work. He's working in his fucking garage. He's fucking riding a motorcycle 100 miles an hour on the fucking freeway.
Dangerous.
So he's in pretty fucking good shape for a 72-year-old. Well, again, in line with what they had said, you know, those years before when he was scaling fences. Of course, now he's 72, but still, I mean, could probably still do it.
In good shape. Fucking doesn't mean you got to be a fucking feeble ass motherfucker.
Right. And they said he was moving around like a 50-year-old. You know, he was totally fine. So anyway.
I worked with a guy that was 70 or 68 and he moved like he was 20.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, if you've been working like that, I mean, you stay limber. Your body's just used to working. You know?
Yeah.
So they were, you know, going through these old cases. They found Ventura County was the one county that gave him a sample to try on one of these murders, and bam, that's when the one they got hit with. So what they did was they tailed D'Angelo to Hobby Lobby, I think he went to, and when he went inside, they swabbed his door handle, and then that's how they compared it to what they found, and they knew that it was him.
So, like, now my question what that is. Now, I'm glad they got the dude, whatever, but my question what that is. They can literally just walk up and do whatever they want to your vehicle.
Well, no, they got.
If you're a suspect, I mean, they had a pretty damn good indication that it was him.
They had a warrant to do the inside of his car.
Oh, sure.
It was the inside handle, not the outside. Oh, I thought it was the inside. Outside. Yeah, no. They got a warrant for it.
Oh, okay.
Once you got a warrant, you're free.
Yeah, when you got a warrant, yeah, you're fucked. Yeah.
So I didn't know that about the warrant, but he was certainly very, very highly suspect. They really think this is him.
That's why they were able to get the warrant for it, because they knew that they had the guy.
They had a lot of stuff to back it up with.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like you said, the 23andMe, Ancestry.com are private, but if people elect for their stuff to become public,
you can maybe find for whatever reason, or whatever.
That's what these cops are using. I think it's a great thing. I see nothing wrong with it, especially if you're willing to give them your DNA, then why not?
Yeah, if you're straight up like, hey, take it, because I don't know, maybe one of these cold cases.
Right.
Maybe it might have been one of my relatives. I have no fucking idea.
And you will never know until.
But just think of all the relief that gave all these families to not have to worry about that piece of shit calling them. Now, one thing I found out that was really fucked up. I just checked, or I just found this out, I think it was yesterday, but one of the victims, many years later, was working at a Denny's in Rancho Cordova, and she got a call at work, and it was him.
You were saying something about that earlier.
Yeah, now she wasn't working at Denny's when she was attacked all those years before.
So he knew where she was at.
He knew where she was. And obviously that she was currently working at the time.
Yes.
So he was probably there or had been watching her or something like that. So
still on stalker mode.
Total fucked up. Keeping and that tabs was like years later, like 20 years later. So,
I mean, I guess I could see him walking into a Denny's and being like in his head, like, oh, I remember you.
Right. Yeah.
You're getting a call tonight.
That's right.
Or he could have just been stalking.
Bring me my fucking moons over my hammy.
Yeah, where's my moons over my hammy, bitch?
Yeah. Yeah.
I ordered a stack of fucking flapjacks,
That's
too.
That's right. I'm going to stir my coffee with my micro penis.
With my skin tag.
With my skin tag. Hey, it's a big skin tag now. Come on. Now, if you saw him on the news during his arraignment, motherfucker looked like he was ready to fucking die at any second. Looked very feeble, looked totally out of it. He's like
in a wheelchair or
shit. Whispering and shit. Very, very strange. Now, the guy, Detective Holes, said that he thought it was total bullshit that he was doing this because he was very, very, you know, more than capable and certainly not in that condition at all. He said it was a total act, total bullshit.
Well, like you said, he fucking... a week or so before, he's out on his fucking Harley doing 100 down the interstate, doing yard work and shit. Yeah, you're okay, man.
Yeah, for sure. You're riding a motorcycle 100 miles an hour on the freeway.
You're either already dead, and the motorcycle's just ghost riding itself,
or you got your shit together, your senses, you know, your reaction time and stuff.
You're not all feeble and shit.
Not at all. Now, No date has been set that I saw for his trial, but man, I bet that'll get a lot of media attention. Oh,
once they set a trial date for it, yeah, it's going to be like, blow, here he is again.
Yeah, because that genealogy tie-in is big because that's so popular right now. A lot of people are getting their blood checked and or their DNA looked at to see what nationalities or what have you they've
or
got.
Or see who your descendants are.
Yeah, yeah.
So they can pick whether you've got, you know, sleep deprivation, if that's common in your family, or you know, diabetes or whatever. So they can track all that stuff now.
Right. Or
so
diabetes.
Skin tag cocks, you know.
Skin tag dick.
You know. Skin cock.
Skin cock. So
dick tag.
Now what were you gonna dick say tack. To Joe about the call or whatever that came in about the rough?
Oh,
Dan Cummins was talking about this on Time Suck.
Oh my God. He, one of the people they used to call, people used to call in tips all the time to the cops back when, you know, these were rampant, and someone called in that his dick was so rough, it literally has been fucked to death.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I'll actually have the exact quote.
Wait, so rough that it had been fucked to death.
Let me get the exact quote. That's just right off the top.
That's just kind of funny, dude.
Yeah, it was like one of the tips or whatever, and I was...
It was just the tip?
A very rough penis, like it was used to death. That's what the exact quote is from his podcast.
And, it was used for death.
Right. So...
I totally forgot about that. Thank
you. It's going to be crazy. Now, he's currently kept in isolation... at the Sacramento County Jail for obvious reasons. Notorious serial killers like this always targets in prisons and jails. You know, Son of Sam had his throat slit in his first New York prison that he went to before they moved him somewhere else. We know Dahmer, of course, attacked and killed in prison. Happens all the time.
I think the Dahmer thing was kind of more like a racial thing.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah. I think, too, that's a badge of honor to say, I killed fucking Dahmer. I mean, that's...
I will agree totally with that. Like, there. I killed Jeffrey Dahmer.
That's right. Like, I mean, that motherfucker ain't buying cigarettes, man.
Yeah, I'm doing more time in the joint, but look.
Yeah, I got cigarettes.
I got cigarettes.
I got grape drink, man. I'm fucking good, man.
These boys love me now.
So Dahmer was killed in prison. A lot of them are killed in prison. So many of them attacked when opportunity arises. And so this shit happens. Inmates love the notoriety of killing someone so well known, especially this piece of shit rapist and killer of women. So definitely not going to have a good time. That's for sure.
No, definitely not at all.
Research for this one was done, variety of sources for me. I know I read that book I mentioned earlier by Michelle McNamara, I'll Be Gone in the Dark. Very, very good. Very extensive, very detailed. If you like this story and it interests you, I would strongly recommend it. Chris, I don't know if that was on Audible or not.
I haven't checked the book out. I've read excerpts from it and everything, and everything I read out of the, like, as far as excerpts was awesome. I did not get a chance to do the whole book, but plenty of documentaries. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there are a lot of them out there.
Plenty of documentaries. There's other, like you said, podcasts or whatnot. But
there's quite a bit out there because it was a big thing in the true crime community.
When it first popped off in 2018.
Right. And so there was a series of podcasts doing it. And Joey just pulled up. It is on Audible.
Well, that's not Audible. That was Libby. If you have the library thing.
Oh, that
and,
app.
If you use a Libby app, it's on there. They have audio and
Amanda Howard.
That's cool.
Amanda Howard, Serial Killers, she did one right after it came out.
Yep, she did. There were quite a few of them that did this case. So
Monsters Who Murder, that's where I was
going
with it.
That's right. Now, you know, I did read online, you know, because she did die in the middle of this. I didn't know what the cause was. I did read online it was an accidental drug overdose. Apparently she was taking medication that conflicted with a medical condition she didn't even know she had, which is fucked up.
That shit sucks.
So it was a very sudden thing. She was in her 40s. And as I mentioned earlier, her husband and comedian Patton Oswalt.
And he'll talk about, if you hear him talk about his wife, he knows it was accidental. He knows she didn't commit suicide.
Right, right. Yeah, totally. There was no indication that that was the case in the least. I did see that HBO is doing a documentary on Michelle's hunt for the killer. And the entire process of how they captured him. So that
should be really good.
I'm definitely anxious to check that out. There were also some really good documentaries that I saw, podcasts. I saw the one on the Oxygen Network, which got into Joseph DeAngelo's story, which there's not a lot of that out there because they don't know much about him. I mean, there are things known, but not nearly what you would expect. So that's why these people HBO and all that's probably going to really dig into that.
They're
going to
get into it deep. Neighbors and friends and coworkers.
Well, the Oxygen Network one was they talked to neighbors, and that's what that guy was saying when he was a little kid. He learned how to swear.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They also talked to his coworkers when he was a mechanic. They talked to the chief of police of Auburn at the time when DeAngelo worked and said he had him over for dinner multiple times. The guy like came over to his house. I mean,
fucked up.
That is so fucked up. You know, he said, I had a wife and a daughter there. And here's this guy in my house.
Could have been casing the joint. You never know.
Go in there and get some plates and say, get on your belly, motherfucker. And put these plates on your back, fool.
Don't
plates
move,
crash, you're dead.
Fall.
That's right.
That's my good China, homeboy.
I wonder if he was really into playing like Mousetrap or like
Jenga.
Jenga. or Operation, you know.
Don't break the ice.
Yeah, don't break the ice.
Yeah, we're talking about kids games over here in this bitch. What?
That's right. That's right.
You should do a podcast while you're playing them.
So, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there if you want to check it out. And I'm sure a lot of them are also waiting for his actual trial and conviction.
Yeah, they don't want
because they don't want to get sued because of that whole allegedly bullshit.
Because you said this, yeah, allegedly.
Right, allegedly.
I heard it was a sick ostrich. Allegedly.
What up, Scooby Doo? Allegedly, Draggy.
I'll blame it on the popsicles. Yeah.
Oh, you ain't even eating a popsicle this time, Holmes.
So next time we'll be featuring Carla Faye Tucker, the crazy bitch.
Oh, man.
Wow. She was executed in Texas in 1998 for murdering two people with a pickaxe. God damn.
Combing her pants doing it.
Yeah. She was fucking having an orgasm while she was killing these people with a pickaxe. Definitely our kind of girl to be talking about on Murder Metal Mayhem. She gained notoriety for being a female facing death and the fact that she found Jesus on death row.
Talking to Pat Robertson and shit.
Yeah. And I've got the best karaoke song.
Perfect karaoke
song. It's already done. I'm going to have Joey Cashman come in here this weekend, though, and put some touches
on vocals on it.
It's going to be great.
Karaoke slamming.
That's right. It's going to be great. So that should be really funny.
Motherfuckers didn't want her to be put to death, though, because she found Jesus.
That's right.
But our ex-president, George Bush.
Yes. George W.
Bush.
Yep.
He's just like, she did it. Kill her.
Yep.
Fuck it.
Yep.
She gone.
He did say fuck her. And so, yeah, she was executed in 98. But we'll talk about it. It should be fun. One that you may not know about, Carla Faye Tucker. So, anyway, I think we have definitely exhausted the discussion on the Golden State Killer.
We
I don't know if you guys think so.
Fucking put some goddamn hurting on that motherfucker.
We did, because there's a lot of stuff to talk about with this guy. I mean, any parting shots, guys? Is there any doubt that this is all one guy?
Oh, DNA don't lie. DNA does not lie for sure.
DNA does not lie, and I really think it was him. I mean, even like the damn sketch photos and shit of back in the day.
Right.
They don't look like he does now, but obviously they're not gonna.
But back then it would have appeared that it looked like him.
Yeah, and I think too, like they said he looked a lot younger. Like the few that saw him said he was much younger, but he did look young. When he was like 30, he looked like he was in his early 20s.
Dude,
so.
Motherfucker, dude, I ain't gonna lie. Motherfuckers look at me and I tell them I'm 41 years old. They're like, I would have guessed 10 years younger.
Really?
Yeah, one of the families.
I'm like, oh, shit. Okay.
Huh.
One of the families.
Especially if you got your shirt off, got your six pack going.
I got my fucking goddamn keg going.
I got a six pack under my keg.
So, yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely one person. It makes all the sense in the world.
Works for me.
But it'll be interesting to see how this thing all, you know, plays out. So we'll see. But we hope that you guys dug that.
Looking forward to the trial.
And thanks for coming in, talking about this, Joe. We're going to do...
can't wait.
Going to do the outro now. And we'll have to do this shit again, man.
Fuck.
Hell yeah. That was fun. We'll be right back.
Fuck yeah, man. Some Exodus, Joe. You get to pick that one.
Awesome.
We were there on that tour.
Blood in, blood out. Vatos Locos Forever, ese.
Yeah, it was a good tour of theirs when they toured for that CD of them and Obituary.
Yeah, one of the best live bands, man. Holy shit, the energy. Exodus throwing it the fuck down still. I saw Gary Holt's got some more stuff written, so anxious to hear it.
Yeah.
Bumper music this episode. We had quite a few of them. We played a lot of music tonight.
Obviously, Exodus.
Right? Exodus, Carcass, Decapitated, Lividity, Suffocation, and Goremonger.
Motherfucking Monger.
So Joey Monger, Gore Money, whatever you want to call, Cashman Outside. We appreciate all the bands and playing their tunes to support them and to give you motherfuckers something to jam to when you're listening to some murder metal and mayhem.
Shit, yeah, and fucking really hope you guys enjoyed our all Golden State Killer fucking episode.
Yeah, it's always fun to do something different, and so we thought you guys would dig it. There's so much to go through with this. I mean,
right, and like you said, we couldn't do it justice in our normal bit that we do because there's a lot to do with it.
Yeah, because we're approaching an hour and a half now, so I mean, it would have been a long murder segment if we would have done it, and so it's better this way. Take a little more time, go through it, and we didn't think we could do it justice any other way. And, of course, next week we'll be doing our Murder Metal Mayhem murder episode or segment on Tammy Faye Tucker. So that should be pretty good.
Church-going killer.
That's right. The holy roller going from pickaxe murdering to praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus.
Bible thumper.
So thanks again, Joe, for coming
in.
Thank
you, Joe, for coming in, dude.
Co-hosting with us. It was fun.
Now I'm on day shift. I can come in.
Yeah, this summer it's easier for you to come in and do more of these. Got a couple of great interviews coming up, man. This is kind of a last late-breaking type news. John Jarvis of Agoraphobic Nosebleed and Scour, Phil Anselmo's band, going to be doing an interview with us this weekend.
This weekend,
that should be awesome.
We're going to be recording that. We also got Matt Bishop that we're going to be doing.
Yeah, ex-Lividity.
Yes.
Guitar player and frontman. Also from Horrid and Horrific Demise. So he's pretty busy guy. He's living up in Wisconsin now, but we know him from Central Illinois. But Matt's a good dude.
I remember meeting him back when I was like 17, bro.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he used to put on those Central Illinois Metal Fests at the Canopy Club in Urbana. Those were the shit. So Matt's a great guy. Anxious to talk to him, see what he's got going on. Now, we're going to be doing these interviews. We'll play little snippets of them in some of the shows. But we
got a couple other ones that we're trying to get lined up. This is just a sneak peek at what we got coming up, folks.
That's right. But the Patreon members are going to get to hear the whole interviews. So that's why you really want to get in on that, man. And the 666 Club, Chris, for $6.66 a month, they get the episodes a day early. They get the karaoke songs
the
as soon as they're done.
It's recorded.
They get the notes from the show ahead of time. And they also get these extra interviews that we're going to be doing and some stories I'm going to be reading, some merch discounts.
Yeah, and you're going to be doing some short stories.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing some audio versions of Chainsaw House Party, which is a fucking
Patreon.
A hoot.
Go get it, man.
So, yeah, go to Patreon, patreon.com/murdermetalmayhem. We'll link to it in the episode description, so check it out. We appreciate the support. Because the money goes to help the show continue and pay the bills and all that.
And make it better quality for y'all.
That's right. That's right. Now, also check us out on Twitter at Get Your Murder On. We're a little slow on Twitter, but I'm trying to build it.
We're a couple older fucks that are
I know. So go on there and fucking follow us on there. Like us on Facebook. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we'll put all links to this stuff in the episode description. And thanks to everybody out there listening, Chris. It is fucking amazing, man, to see the cities, these countries checking this shit out.
Just keep checking it out. Appreciate
it
a lot.
Even we talked about it tonight. Tommy Patera in federal prison.
Fucking love
heard about
it.
Murder
Tommy.
Metal Mayhem. Now, this was a negative reaction,
Tommy.
And he reached out and got a hold of us, and it's all good now. But if Tommy Patera could hear about Murder Metal Mayhem,
anybody.
It's getting out there, so.
I ain't gonna lie, I was in my younger days. the fucking goddamn mafia mobster movies were like some of my favorite shits in the world. Obviously, Godfather, Goodfellas, Casino, right, and shit. But
right.
It was like the last, like that mafia shit, like always intrigued me anyway.
Dude. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's neat. So the fact that, you know, we're getting out there and we got a lot of Cedar Rapids, Iowa's killing it. Omaha, Nebraska, both of them are in the top five. Canadian fans are just turning out like crazy, dude. They're right behind the U.S. and top countries listening. So
it's probably fucking Ricky and Julian.
It could be. Or the guys in Letterkenny, man. Yeah, it's very possible.
Fucking goddamn it.
So Chris, you want to read the first one there?
Yeah, so like Betsy the Bitch.
Damn.
All right. I love you, too. She says, hey, guys, your podcast is the best. I love the show you just did on the Black Dolphin Prison. I love that documentary on it. It's the scary ass place. And yes, it is. And she asked, are you gonna do any other prison stories? And we actually have one or two in the works.
We do have two. We have two.
And one of them is Cashman's idea. So he will probably be in here for that.
That's right. Texas 7.
Texas 7. We are definitely doing.
We're doing that one. And then probably in the fall, we're doing the New Mexico prison riot, the 1980 one, the real bad one.
Fucked.
So we got a couple prison ones coming. So you'll get some of that shit. Joe, you want to read the next one?
Dirk Donaldson says, love the wood chipper story. What the fuck with that dumbass? He could have gotten away with it so easily. LOL. I agree. He could have, but he was dumb and decided to wear an orange coat.
In the middle of a snowstorm. Exactly. With a wood chipper.
Right. Yeah. In the middle of the night, too. What a fucking idiot, man. If he'd have gone out to a lake in the middle of the day on a Saturday, nobody would have fucking given it another thought.
Maybe everybody thought, maybe he was thinking, everybody was just thinking, he's got the orange coat on. He's just an IDOT worker.
Right.
He's an IDOT worker. Well,
yeah.
It would have been CDOT because IDOT's Illinois.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
CDOT.
CDOT.
We got another one, Chris. What's you get the good ones tonight.
What the fuck's going on?
I love this one.
Hi, Rhonda. Rhonda's username is Fuck Me Rhonda. So maybe it's a dude asking this chick.
Fuck me, Rhonda. Fuck me, Rhonda.
Get the fuck out of here. All right. So fuck me, Rhonda. I'm a new listener from Canada. I love your podcast. I went back to start at the beginning. So far, my favorite one was where you talked about Joe Matheny. And ate barbecue when we recorded the podcast. That's definitely one of our favorites.
Yeah, that was really funny. That, you know, and what was funny about that was how that was not planned.
No, Big Mike just showed up. Because Big Mike was coming up.
Well, no, I did ask him to bring some food, but only so we could plug his business.
Right.
So he brings the barbecue, and I think it was that night or the night before. I'm like, oh my God, we're talking about Joe Matheny. So
he fucking barbecued.
Holy shit,
up.
We're going to have barbecue right, in here tomorrow. So that's fuck yeah. So it was an accidental stroke of genius. So that was how that went. Fuck me, Rhonda. So appreciate your sentiments there. Oh, glad you Rhonda. Enjoy that. And all you Canadian motherfuckers, man, you guys are great. And Joey, you got another one here?
Slits and Shits. Said
Slits and Shit.
Yeah, Slits and Shit.
Wow.
Epic. Right. That Iceman podcast was really good. I've heard about him before. I love the way you fuckers cover a topic. Horns way the fuck up.
Fuck yeah. Thank
awesome,
you.
Awesome, man. That's cool.
I'm a listener myself, and I enjoy the podcast myself.
Well, thanks, man. And it's always fun to do these really extreme ones. The Iceman was just fucking brutal, but like we learned from talking through Jim Cooley with the Tommy Patera stuff, could have been a lot of fabrication. But we did allude to that in that episode.
We did, saying there was people saying that stories in the book ain't true.
Were embellished. But, you know, the thing is, too, is Iceman was on those interviews telling a lot of those stories.
Telling the same stories.
So,
like
rats
in the fucking caves and
right,
shit.
Right, I mean,
like,
so if you don't want to, in this case, with Iceman, maybe, you know, maybe they were both kind of in collaboration of these exaggerations. I don't know, you know. But we always say, like, hey, you know, this is a fucking comedy podcast. We're just having some fun.
Yeah. We may not be that funny, but we're not very serious either.
Right. So the detail stuff sometimes gets by. But anyway, Slits and Shit. I'm glad you like that Iceman podcast, so thank you very much.
Fuck yeah. Hey, all y'all motherfuckers, go check out PsychoKillerBobbleheads.com.
Yes.
Check them out.
Yeah, get yourself one of their 16 bobbleheads. Tell them we sent you. Get that shit amazing. Super quick.
Fuck yeah, dude.
They are awesome. We got them out on the table every time.
I want an H.H. Holmes one really bad.
H.H. Holmes.
Oh, it's my favorite.
H.H. Holmes is the boy.
Yeah. They need to make a Ripper. They need to make a Jack the Ripper one. But.
Yeah, they've got some in the works. The Jim Jones one they talked about, which would be good.
Round two. So definitely go check out Psycho Killer Bobbleheads.
Yeah, MurderMetalMayhem.com to check out past episodes. PeteAltieri.com if you want to pick up one of the books. But, you know, dude, we cannot let him go without another karaoke classic. Now, I wasn't going to do one.
For this, but you found one that works out good.
It was too easy when I came up with the title of California Bleeding.
So, yeah. So obviously, this
fit.
Obviously.
Now, I usually just sing them straight up so that, you know, it's the song as it is. But with this one, I changed the words a little bit. So you want to make sure you pay attention to lyrics because I definitely,
yeah, you definitely changed it
fit
up.
It to this made Golden it, State
a,
killer.
A parody karaoke.
That's right. That's right. So check that shit out. Until next time, keep one foot in the gutter.
And your fist in Joe Altieri's face.
I knew you were going to do that.
All the leaves are brown.
All the leaves are brown.
And the sky is gray.
And the sky is gray.
I've been for a walk.
I've been for a walk.
On a winter's day.
On a winter's day.
I'd be safe and passed along the way,
along the way.
I got them on their knees,
them on my knees.
And they began to pray,
I began to pray.
You know, I like the butcher knife,
the butcher knife.
She knows I'm gonna stay,
knows I'm gonna stay.
California bleeding,
I'm grading
on such a winter's day.
Man.